Hey guys, and welcome to episode 147 of the OCDstories.com podcast. Now, in this story-based episode, I interviewed Robin Robley-Strauss, who has kindly agreed to share his story. He's also come on to talk about his documentary called What If, which is based around OCD. He came to London a few months ago and interviewed myself and Catherine for that, so it's a privilege to be part of it. So I wanted to get him on to return the favour, give him a chance to talk about his documentary and the cool things he's trying to do around raising awareness for OCD. But in it, we talk about his OCD story, we talk about separation anxiety. We talk about how, for him, hearing other people's stories really helped him in his recovery. He talks about therapy. We talk about goals and values. Yeah, he mentions and describes how journaling has helped him in his process. Just the importance of finding the right therapist. And then there's many words of hope he gives at the end, which I think you'll like. So, yeah. But as always, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's at the OCD Stories. You'll get more information, find out what the latest podcasts are there, and other kind of messages and videos we put on there. So thank you for listening. And here is Robin. On the podcast today, I have Robin Robley-Strauss, who has kindly agreed to share his OCD story with us and talk about his film, What If? Welcome to the show, Robin.
Thank you.
It's good to have you on. And you've before historically, helped me with the podcast and done some work, which so I greatly appreciate that. So it's nice to return the favor now.
Yeah, I'm excited to be on the podcast.
Awesome. So it'd be good to get your OCD story in as little as much detail as you want to give.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess my story with OCD and anxiety is, I guess it's kind of long. There's lots of different like phases, so I'll try and be quick about it, or just kind of give a brief overview. I guess when I was really young, I really struggled with separation anxiety, which actually lasted all the way until I left for college, like pretty intensely, and just like having trouble doing sleepovers and always like wanting to, go to a friend's like birthday and then do the sleepover, but then always like having to call home. And then in the next morning, I was feeling really bad about that. So just kind of having this like general anxiety around separation from my parents. But I think when it started to kind of begin to look more like OCD was around, I guess when I was maybe 10 or 11. And I actually had kind of this brief bout with what looked like anorexia, actually. Where I was playing a lot of soccer and was like exercising a lot, and I started to kind of like monitor my my diet, and I think it started out with just wanting to be healthy, and then wanting to like be fit, and it ended up getting like pretty bad, and my parents started seeing that I was really skinny, and went to my pediatrician, and I ended up kind of quickly, only within 6 months, kind of getting out of that bout with anorexia and getting back to normal weight. But within that specific time, my pediatrician noticed I had some kind of like outward compulsions or some kind of ritual behavior I was doing in regards to the anorexia. Like I would touch certain parts of my body or do these like tapping kind of exercises that were kind of in relation to thoughts I was having and like getting rid of thoughts. And at that time, my pediatrician mentioned like, this looks like it has some OCD symptoms, but he wasn't an expert and just kind of it passed. And then I guess in ninth grade, the summer between actually ninth grade and 10th grade in high school, I started having like really severe panic attacks. And I didn't know what was going on. And I remember like one time during this phase when I was panic attacks, I saw this story, this headline story about this girl, I think named Phoebe Prince who commits suicide. And I was really like disturbed by that. And it was kind of from that time on, I started having these obsessions around kind of suicide, like losing control or going crazy. And they were always triggered by like things I would see in the news or like books in English class where there'd be like someone who commits suicide in a book or hearing in my community of it. And it would kind of trigger me and I would start to get intrusive thoughts where I would like see myself jumping off a bridge or like kind of the most scary ones where I'd see like myself like hanging in the rafters and kind of like, or like be afraid of knives, afraid that I would, you know, take a knife and like hurt myself or it was mostly directed at myself, but there were times where it was like fear of harming others.
Yeah.
And I kind of was terrified to tell anybody because I didn't want them to get the impression that I wanted. I was not suicidal. It was like very ego dystonic from what I wanted. But I like felt really nervous to say it because I didn't want people to get the wrong impression. And I had no idea what was going on and what to do with these thoughts.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of avoidance around things and, it kind of increased my separation anxiety. I always needed to be near my parents. I like didn't really want to be needed to be near someone who I felt safe with. So that kind of persisted in basically into 11th grade. And then kind of the end of 11th grade into 12th grade, the theme shifted from kind of thoughts of harm to more around like sexuality. And in particular, it was around the theme of sexual orientation. And I had always kind of, I never really questioned my sexual orientation ever. I felt pretty clear I was interested in women. And then at this point, I think I remember, it's kind of odd, but I remember like being on a family vacation and thinking that my uncle looked like handsome or something. And then from that thought, I started to be like, well, what does that mean that you think he looks handsome? And I started to kind of obsess around, well, what if I'm actually doing this all wrong? And I, you know, actually I'm a different sexual orientation than I had thought I had been. And that kind of persisted for a while. And I would do kind of weird checking behaviors in public where I would kind of check to see if I was more attracted to like the women in the room or the men. And kind of would do these weird things that became very, very unpleasant and very like distracting. And it was all about like gaining certainty and basically about my sexual orientation so that I would be like happy in a relationship. And this kind of persisted even when I was like very in love with my girlfriend at the time. And I was working at like a cafe and would, you know, people would order their coffee and I would do this kind of weird checking behavior and be checking kind of if I was aroused or if just the kind of classic kind of checking behavior in terms of themes of around sexuality. And then it did kind of go into kind of more like ROCD stuff at points where when I was like single and dating and like I would often get a lot of anxiety if I started to like see someone a couple times, if they kind of thought, so like, are they the right one? Or like, do I like them enough? Kind of a lot of like worrying about like that they would be the perfect person who would make me happy. And I'm trying to think, but I guess that's kind of where my OCD themes were. And then I think it got really bad when my girlfriend broke up, or my girlfriend who I was with for like 8 months. And after she broke up with me, I was really devastated and it kind of spiked my anxiety and kind of a number of my themes came back, both some of the harm themes and some of the like sexuality themes came back intensely. And I hadn't really seen a therapist who like specialized in OCD, and the nearest one was about an hour away. So I decided to like put in the effort because I knew that anytime something in my life, like any kind of loss happened, like you know, a death in the family or like a breakup or any kind of intense transition, I had noticed there had been spikes in my anxiety, and I knew I needed to really take it on, or it was gonna, you know, make life harder than it needed to be. So I ended up seeing her and doing ERP, and it was really effective. And I really just like, I also did a lot of research myself online and reading books, and found the podcast around that time, and
cool.
hearing other people's stories was really helpful, and kind of really wrapped my head around kind of what OCD is, how anxiety works, and how to really effectively treat it with CBT. And yeah, so seeing this therapist was really amazing. She really helped me a lot. And then over the past years, my past like year or so, my symptoms have been pretty low, relatively low, actually, which is pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
And I'm sure they will ebb and flow as they do, and maybe change into different thematic forms. But that's basically my story in brief.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully they don't come back to a bad degree. But if they do, you know, you've got the skill set to handle it now.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Okay. Now, thank you for sharing your story. When you went to see your therapist, had you told anyone at this point what was going on for you, or did you kind of go by yourself to seek help?
Yeah, so I guess one thing I didn't say is, yeah, I did at a certain point with that first theme around harm and kind of the fear of suicide, I did end up talking to my dad at a certain point. And I actually somewhat early on spoke with this woman who was actually a naturopath. Naturopathic doctor, but I told her my symptoms, and she's like, "This sounds like OCD. You should see a cognitive behavioral therapist."
Get on her.
And like, she like totally knew it. And then I came back later when my theme switched and said it, and she's like, "This also sounds like OCD. Try and find a cognitive behavioral therapist." So I had spoken with some people, and it had kind of, it was just a breaking point, I think, later on, where I was like, I need
you
to do something
to do
about this.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Okay, so you did CBT, and I guess the ERP was a part of that. What else did you, what kind of helped you on your journey with recovery?
Yeah, I think, let's see. I think definitely CBT, but also... also acceptance commitment therapy. I read kind of a lot about acceptance commitment therapy, and I think I maybe did learn about it from your podcast. And I got really interested in kind of like kind of thinking about my values and thinking about what is important to me, and like working on kind of living by my values and going towards things that maybe made me anxious. But kind of, I had this kind of larger goal of like, it's okay to go towards this, even though it makes me anxious, because I have these larger goals and values that are important to me. So acceptance commitment therapy was really helpful in that approach. Definitely like exercise has always been key for me. So like going for runs. Another big thing for me is actually like journaling or like free writing. But using writing as just a way to get my thoughts all out and be able to kind of look at them and be like, oh, whoa, I know what's going on. Like in my head, sometimes I, you know, it gets all muddy, and I kind of am like, well, maybe this, you know, is this an OCD loop or is this not? And then when I write it out, I'm like, oh my God, this is, I know what this is, and I can kind of let it out.
Awesome.
That's been really helpful. Trying to think of other things. I think hearing other people's stories, and your podcast has been so helpful. So just hearing
Thank you.
Lots of other people's stories and their similarities or even differences, but just how they're similar based on the nature of OCD and anxiety and not feeling alone and feeling like you have a community of people who really understand and can empathize with you in a really deep way. Has helped. And then more recently, like sharing my story and kind of owning your your diagnosis, or not so much owning the diagnosis, but just owning that you struggle and that and talking to people about your story, even if you're really embarrassed or afraid they'll be confused or won't understand, but like doing it. And oftentimes I remember I talked to my ex-girlfriend about it, and I was so nervous, and I was like, she's gonna like, you know, think this is weird, or my fear was like she was gonna like break up with me or something. And it was ended up being a really like healing thing, and like made me feel better, and definitely sharing with my mom and dad and more of my friends now and being more open with, and that's actually been really healing.
I can imagine. Yeah, doing this documentary has probably forced you almost to be open with people.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this documentary, yeah, really like going toward, it's like the next level of kind of ERP and like going really towards yeah, sharing your story and I guess like being okay with saying I struggle with OCD and not feeling ashamed of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think you said it well, like when you said not necessarily diagnosis, but just sharing that you struggled or that you suffered, and there's something very human about that. And there's a lot of people who don't necessarily have any disorders, but you know, they suffer too, they've struggled too, to different degrees obviously, but and they're probably ashamed to share their struggle, you know.
Definitely.
Whatever it is, and when you can kind of find a way to share it, sometimes that liberates others around you.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Okay, cool. So we're going to get into your documentary in a bit, but a couple of questions for that is, one is kind of, what was the biggest epiphany for you in your recovery, that kind of light bulb moment? Was there any?
Yeah, I think for me the biggest thing was kind of, I guess, an understanding in like ERP and how ERP works of this idea of like doing the opposite. Kind of do the opposite of what you want to do in terms of when you have anxiety or when something triggers your anxiety or an intrusive thought, you know, triggers your anxiety, and kind of this idea of going towards it and saying like, bring it on. And kind of, I mean, I think this is kind of, some of this might be from episodes of your podcast with like Dr. Reed Wilson, but this idea of like, you know, go toward anything that makes you anxious, go towards it. And that by going towards it, you kind of go through it and you pass through the anxiety, and the anxiety subsides, and kind of making it almost like a lifestyle of exposure.
Yeah.
Which definitely is a challenge. And I sometimes forget to do it, or I definitely in the beginning was afraid to do it. But I find that whenever I notice that I feel a little triggered, I instead of running away from it, I go towards it. And that's been really helpful.
Yeah.
Because for me, avoidance was a huge compulsion of mine.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, that's really good. Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, kind of like leaning into it and going towards it. Tough at first, but I'm sure you agree, you kind of, it's like a muscle. It just gets, you get stronger and stronger at it, and it becomes more automatic.
Definitely. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So then, somewhat similar question is, what was your biggest roadblock in recovery and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the first thing that came to mind, which is, I think, true for a lot of people, is finding a therapist. And like, I'm in like an area, I'm in Massachusetts and kind of Western Massachusetts, and I'm in a pretty, there's a lot of colleges here, and there are a lot of therapists in my area, but yeah, even so I had to go out to the Boston area to find a therapist who specialized in OCD. And that was definitely, took a lot longer. I saw a number of therapists who didn't know very much about OCD and who actually sometimes made it worse and said things to me that made me feel worse and feel more hopeless. And yeah, definitely that's the biggest roadblock for me, I think, is finding the right therapist.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Fair point. I'm sure many people listening to this can probably sadly relate to that. Definitely changing. Okay, so let's go on to your documentary. So, you know, I was blessed to be a part of it. You came to London. You filmed myself and Catherine. Catherine Benfield, who's been on the show as well. It's called What If. I know it's got a longer title, so it'd be good to get that. And then just share kind of why you're doing it and your hopes for it and what it's about.
Definitely. Yeah. So I'm a senior in college, and I'm doing, this is basically like my senior thesis film project. Although I'm thinking of it as more of a 2-year timeline. I want to continue working on it and then submit it to some film festivals and stuff. But the title is What If, and then the subtitle is What If, a film about living with OCD in an uncertain world. And I'm interested in exploring, in particular, the kind of core pathology of OCD and really anxiety, which is this kind of intolerance for uncertainty, and kind of using this exploration of like uncertainty and living with uncertainty as a way to tie different people's stories together and kind of help make help it so people can understand OCD in a more nuanced way. So the idea is to work with like 4 to 6 people with the OCD diagnosis and kind of collaborate with each of these people and document their story with OCD and kind of have a conversation about what they would like to see in a movie about OCD and how kind of like the OCD community wants to share that experience and talk about it with a larger community of people. And then I'm going to pair it with some kind of more, I'm interested in kind of experimental documentary and kind of using found footage or other kinds of footage to illustrate people's stories, and maybe animation. I'm potentially actually collaborating with some animators.
Nice.
As a way to kind of like cinematically kind of illustrate people's narratives struggling with OCD. And I'll also be doing interviews with some clinicians and psychologists and mental health advocates on what OCD is, but in particular, how kind of this struggle with uncertainty, how it's the kind of core part of OCD is this uncertainty piece, and how to kind of navigate it. And then I'm actually, I used to do Buddhist studies when I first got to university, and I'm interested in potentially doing some interviews with some Buddhist scholars on kind of impermanence. And kind of one of the core principles in Buddhism is that things are kind of constantly changing and nothing lasts, and kind of the very kind of uncertainty that is underlying the human experience. So tying in some of that too.
Nice.
The documentary. But so that's the basic idea of it.
Cool. Yeah, I think it's a good angle. All of it is a really good angle of a lot of OCD documentaries either focus entirely on here's someone suffering, and unfortunately they film the person actually struggling in that moment, which I don't always agree with. Or they rarely show the treatment, which is obviously largely ERP. And I prefer those documentaries that do that because they're focusing on what's actually going to help someone as opposed to just someone struggling, which, you know, it doesn't always educate people in the right way. So yours is kind of in the middle. It's addressing a philosophical question of the nature of uncertainty, which also will not only raise awareness to people who don't know what OCD is, I think it will also help people who have OCD because it's addressing that key question that they struggle with.
Definitely, yeah. And I think one other thing that I think is important in terms of just documentary practice and kind of the ethics of it is just like so often films are made like by someone on an outside, like an outside group. And I like the idea of it being people with OCD making a film about OCD and about that experience and kind of collaborating with each person I interview in how they want their story told and what they think are the most important things that people should know and understand about living with OCD. And so I'm like interested in just empowering people to kind of tell their story that way.
Yeah, no, I love it. Absolutely. I mean, that's a great approach. And how can people find out more about documentaries, support it, etc.?
Yeah, so I just recently made a website for the project. It's www.whatifocdmovie.com.
Cool.
And so I'm looking for people who are interested in, I'm still looking for people to collaborate with. So if you're interested in being involved and being one of the people in the movie talking about your story, definitely reach out. I'd be excited to Skype with you and talk further. And then I'm also looking for people who are interested in either funding the project. I'm applying for some grants through my college, but I'm hoping to travel to work with each person and interview all the clinicians and psychologists in person as well.
Cool.
And then I'm also interested in working with people in the OCD community who happen to do film stuff or animation. So I'm actually working with Spencer Gavin.
Yep.
When I'm out in Los Angeles, he offered to be my cinematographer for some of my interviews. So if you're interested in collaborating that way too, I'd be really excited. And also Liz Smith at The Secret Illness offered to potentially they might do some animation. And
nice.
So I'm interested in collaborating with other people in the OCD community who also do film stuff.
Brilliant.
And
now that's awesome. And anyone who's interested, hit Robin up. I'll put the link as well in the show notes, so it's there if they can't remember it. What's like one of your favorite resources, like a book, video, etc.? Is there one that sticks out for you?
Other than the OCD stories podcast now. Well, I have to say, I really like Mark Freeman's YouTube videos. I think he's really smart about talking about OCD, talking about mental health in general. I found his stuff really helpful. I really liked John Hirschfield and Tom Carboy's book, The Mindfulness Workbook for OCD,
yeah.
Was one that really helped me. Trying to think of other, I mean, intrusivethoughts.org. Is I think they're doing really cool stuff, and that's a great resource. So
cool. No, good list. So what would you tell someone who's just starting their recovery journey?
Yeah, that's a good question. Just starting their recovery journey. I mean, I would say, okay. I mean, first thing I would say that like that's awesome that you're seeking recovery. Like, I think that's like a really hard step in it to like decide like I'm gonna go try and figure out how to help myself and just the bravery that it takes to go seek help. I think I would definitely say that's awesome that you're doing that. And then I would say like it's really important to that there is a lot of community around OCD and that give them kind of links to various resources where they can find that community and say that like while you're going through this process, there are other people also going through this process or who have gone through this process who are like there to like help and support you. And that the community is really important. And that it gets better and that it's worth it to do it. So
yeah, good words. Okay, so you've got a billboard. What do you want written on that billboard for everyone to see?
Okay. I'm super into like uncertainty and working with that kind of idea. So um, there is freedom in uncertainty. There's one thing I like thinking about is that I think something with uncertainty. I think I'll go with that one. There's freedom in uncertainty.
It's a good one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And if you could pick up the phone and call your 20-year-old self, what would you tell that Robin?
Wow. Okay. 20-year-old self.
Well, how old are you now? Actually, you don't have to give your age if you don't want.
Oh, I will. I'm 23. So 3 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Let's try it because I thought, oh, you're still at college. So you could be.
I guess so. Yeah, true. I could be just out of college or not. What would I tell them? I mean, I think I would say, honestly, for me, it's like been getting better every year. And that, like, even if it feels hard right now, it's to keep on, believing in yourself. And I'm trying to think when I was 20. Maybe that, like, that things are going to work out pretty well and, you know, you're going to be okay. And to just be brave and, be open about your struggles and you don't have to be ashamed or afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. And is there anything else that I haven't asked you that either about the documentary or OCD in generally that you wish you could have shared?
I guess just like a thank you to the OCD community in general for just like the support, the way they support each other and, just how amazing it is. And I feel a lot of like gratitude for, the community at large and all the people who are both clinicians and people doing advocacy and just like how I think that's so cool. And that's why I want to make this movie because so many people in this community have helped me through my process and I want to continue that and give back and just how amazing that is. So
That's awesome, man. That's really good to hear. Thank you for your time and for letting me be part of the documentary. I look forward to seeing it whenever it comes out and keep up the good work.
Great, thank you. Yeah,
so there you have it. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Robin. And quick disclaimer, guys, this podcast is not therapy. It is not replacement therapy. Please seek treatment from a trained professional. Thank you, as always, for listening. And don't forget to stay up to date with the podcast at The OCD Stories on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And also links to resources that Robin or I mentioned in this episode will be at theocdstories.com. That's theocdstories.com. Thanks, guys, and speak soon.